When the Apostle Paul took the grace gospel to Galatia, the people heard that unchanging word and they responded and they were saved. But just as soon as Paul left, in came those false teachers who tried to mix law and works into grace. And as a result, confusion over the way of salvation produced an uncertainty in the hearts and the minds of those who had been so sure only just a matter of weeks or months before. These phony ministers tried to pollute the truth of God, the truth of God that is unchanging. Do you know, the same thing happened in Jeremiah's day. As you may remember in chapter 27, that God told Jeremiah that he would take a yoke and he was to wear it as an illustration of God's will for his people, that they should submit to and put themselves under the authority of, remember, his servant Nebuchadnezzar. God would even use and did use a Gentile heathen king in order to effect and to bring about his judgment upon his nation. That yoke that Nebuchadnezzar wore was an illustration of the yoke that would be placed upon them, God's people, as they serve the Babylonian king. God told his people through Jeremiah that if they would obey him and do that, they would not live, but God would bless them and they would live. In other words, if they chose to live in rebellion against God, if they chose to live in rebellion against God's unchanging word, then they would be destroyed. But if they chose to live according to his ways, then not only would they live, but God would bless them. But he warned them not to disobey, but to submit. Do you know there were those false prophets, those teachers listening at the temple as Jeremiah was bringing that word? They were telling the people just the opposite. They were trying to keep the people from submitting to the Babylonians by telling them a bunch of lies. Did you know there's a lot of people today, as we'll discover as we go through, who are doing exactly the same? Telling God's people a bunch of lies in order them not to submit to the unchanging word of God. They were telling the people that they were at peace with God, and that God would never destroy them or his temple, and that they had nothing to worry about. As we've just read in Jeremiah 28, one such prophet was the man called Hananiah. He was telling the people that they had nothing to worry about. He was one who was promoting the idea that God would not do such a negative thing to his own people. Could God really destroy his own temple? Could God really destroy the city that he had actually put his name to? He didn't like what Jeremiah was doing or saying. And so he decided to make up his own message, which was just the opposite of the true message. Do you know, can I just say again, there are those today that do not like those who stand on the word of God. They hate them, they despise them, they'll do anything to remove them from the positions of opportunity, from the positions of influence. That's not one of those, by the way. That is just a Google search went wrong somewhere. They would try to shut their mouths, and then they tell lies. He decided to put a show for the people, claiming that he had received additional revelation, information directly from God himself. He took it upon himself to try to influence the people. And so at that time, which you've got to understand again, context, when Simon, I just make reference to the previous sermon a couple of weeks ago when Simon actually finished in Jeremiah 27. He put the context and set the context that we're talking into now. But the context, another context of what was happening as Jeremiah was proclaiming this message, Nebuchadnezzar was putting down some revolt in the land of Babylon. There was troubles happening within that land. And so while he was occupied with that, suddenly these false prophets raised their ugly head and spoke out against Jeremiah. Hanani was that one. He decided to use the circumstances to his advantage. But in the end, this is what we'll see that will happen. Simply this. The false teachers, false prophets, false preachers who tell God's people the opposite to what the truth is, they will oppose the true message of God, but one day God will deal with them. Harsh reality. Look what happened. Did you go... when you got to that last verse of chapter 28, when God took the life of Hananiah, God will not be mocked. With all that said, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. And Father, we praise and thank you again in Jesus' precious name. That there is no shadow of turning with you. That you are the same today as you were yesterday, as you will be forever. We thank you that your word is unchanging. And that which you have spoken, you are watching over in order to fulfill, even in our day, in our generation. And we praise you, for you are faithful. Lord, as we consider your word tonight, Lord, as we seek to understand it, we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit, that he would open our hearts and minds, that he would illumine us this night, that we may see your truth and walk in the truth of it. As we look at the context of all that you were saying in Jeremiah's day, Lord, help us to see the application in our day, that we may remain faithful to your unchanging word. Father, know our hearts before you this night, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So just to restate or reiterate, Jeremiah was there wearing this yoke as an illustration of what God was going to do, calling the people to submit to Babylon. Because this was God's will because the people lived in rebellion against God. I remind you again, time and time again, whenever God is about to act, he always warns the people. Why? Because he is a God of mercy. God just doesn't act and say, right, I've just had enough of that. Before he ever does that, what does the scripture say? He is a God who abounds in loving kindness. He is slow to anger, but abounds in love. He is long-suffering. But just as, I don't know whether you were a parent that says, that's your final warning, you know. I used to get three. When I got to the final one, I used to get another three. But not three warnings, but three of the best from my father. I'd gone too far. As a parent, you have to follow through with that which you've said. As a holy God, how much more does God have to follow through with that chastisement of the people? But before he did that, he warned them and warned them. Because of their rebellion, he was putting this yoke upon them, the yoke of the Babylonian Empire. But this false prophet Hananiah did not like this message from God. He didn't like what the true servant of God, the true prophet of God was saying. And so he decided, as the text says, to make up his own. We learn from verse 1 that he too was living in exactly the same day as Jeremiah. On verse 1 of 27, early in the reign of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, again coming over in the fifth year of that same month of the fourth year of the reign of Zedekiah, it was exactly the same time that this false prophet was speaking. It says there that Zedekiah, that he was actually from, as well as speaking at the time of Zedekiah, he was the son of Azur, but he was also from Gibeon. He's actually from the tribe of Benjamin. That would actually mean that he would have had a good standing and reputation because good things came out of Benjamin. He would have had a good reputation amongst the people. And so when he spoke, many of them would have listened. Especially when he was saying and bringing a word that was contrary to the harsh word of Jeremiah. We don't know anything else about him except what we learn in this particular chapter. This is what he speaks. The first thing we notice there is Hananiah speaks to Jeremiah in verses 1 through to 4. A few key things just to observe about what he says here. The first thing is there is that Hananiah spoke to Jeremiah in public. He didn't take him to one side. This was not a personal rebuke to Jeremiah. Just said, you know what? I actually think you were wrong in what you said there. I think your exegesis was really wrong. I think your discern and understanding different days that we're living in. No, he done it quite publicly. Because he not only wanted to rebuke Jeremiah, but he wanted to convince the people, the priests, and the other people who were living in that Jerusalem at that time that Jeremiah was not only wrong, but he was right. This was a public message that he was giving to Jeremiah and the people. Hananiah believed that he could convince them all, and yet it was a blatant lie. Secondly, we notice also that Hananiah said his message was from the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, verse 2 there. He even uses the same name that Jeremiah uses all the way back in verse 21 of chapter 27. It sounds so pious, doesn't it? It sounds so true and so right. However, it was a lie. Look at this. He's telling Jeremiah that he was receiving a message from God which was not true, that which was contrary to what God has already said through his servant. Now, I hope some of you are saying, but how do you know the difference? How do you know whether Jeremiah was saying something wrong and Hananiah was saying something that was correct? We get a sort of clue, really, from what Jeremiah says later on in the passage in verse 9. Look what he says there. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as the one truly sent by the Lord only if what? What they say comes true. You know, the greatest evidence, well, there's two greatest evidences of someone who is a prophet of God, someone who has the authority to speak on God's behalf. One is that they whatever they say comes about. And two, whatever they say doesn't contradict the word of God. All that Jeremiah had said up until this point that was from the Lord had come about. Everything up until this point. And everything that he said was in line, didn't contradict any of the other prophets of Isaiah or all the others that had gone before who were saying exactly the same thing, that if the people didn't repent and turn back, God was going to bring judgment upon them. And so not only was Jeremiah speaking in line with what God had previously said, but also that which he had said had come about. That is the greatest evidence. There's been some wacky prophecies recently, particularly over COVID. I don't know whether you picked up on any of them on some of the Christian media sites about how God was going to stop COVID and how all this and everything, and absolutely nothing happens. And the thing that gets me whenever you see these false prophets is simply this, is I've never, ever heard one of them repent and say, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. All I've ever heard is they go on to say something even more wacky next time. No one brings them to task. Jeremiah does here. Third observation, Hananiah said that God's message is that he has broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Hananiah said that Nebuchadnezzar had been broken by God and therefore was no threat anymore to Israel. He said that God revealed to him that while Nebuchadnezzar was away, he and his forces had been given broken so that now Israel was now safe, they were delivered, and everything was okay. And so there he is standing before the people with this dogmatism, this statement that was ultimately lies. One of the great dangers that we can do in these areas is look at the circumstances and then make a prophecy on the account of the circumstances, or look at the circumstances and then find a scripture that justifies what's happening. It's the difference between exegesis and eisegesis, looking into a text and drawing out what the scripture says, or having an idea and then reading into the text your idea. And this is what many false prophets do today. They take the word of God out of context without understanding all that God has said. This is exactly what Hannah did. Hannah and I said there, in 2 years, God would bring back all the vessels to the temple. He even set a time limit to when God will bring them back. He says that Hanani says that in 2 years, God would bring back the king. He even takes a step further and says that God is not only going to bring back the king, but he's going to bring back all the people, all the items for the temple as well. As if that was the most significant thing. As if, as Simon rightfully said last time, as if the articles in the temple represented the presence of God. These were just aids. They had no bearing on the presence of Almighty God within the temple. Hananiah also said that in 2 years, God would bring back all the exiles. Pretty bold predictions. But none of it would come true. Hannah said that this was the word of the Lord. And Hananiah said also that God will break the yoke of the Babylonians. Now, if you're a people in Jeremiah's day, listen to what Jeremiah says and listening to what Hananiah says, what message would you want to hear? That it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be 80, 70 years before the return. You're going to be under the yoke of the Babylonian Empire, not just you, but all the nations around. Or, don't worry, just hang in there for 2 years and then everything's going to be okay. See, there are many who are not understanding the days in which we are living in and are prophesying things which just make the people feel comfortable. And the prophet says that they tickle the people's ears and the people love it. Even Jeremiah would have been happy if that was true. I love Jeremiah's response. Look what it is, says there. This is what the Lord says, that within 2 years all these things will happen. Verse 5, when the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah before all the people, what did he say? Amen! If only it would be true. May the Lord do so just as you've said. May he fulfill the words that you've prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house back, by bringing God's people back, by doing all these things. Nevertheless, listen. Jeremiah speaks to Hananiah as a result of all that he's just said. Hananiah made all this invented predictions in the temple before the priests and before Jeremiah decided to respond in this same place. In other words, he didn't take him to one side and say, again, Hananiah, let me just give you a bit of wise counsel here. No, because he'd done it publicly, he dealt with it publicly. Jeremiah says, if the Lord truly was going to do this, you may just said he will do it, then great, hallelujah, praise God for that. I wish he would do it. But Jeremiah then says, but you need to hear something, Hananiah. Before you believe this and before the people believe this, you need to listen to what I'm going to say to you. prophets have been making predictions about this land for many, many years, about wars and calamities that they would cease and pestilence would cease. But none of them came true. Jeremiah says that the prophet who prophesies of peace and it happens proves that they are the prophet sent by God. So in other words, he's saying, Hananiah, if this is true, let it be so, but let's wait and see, because I know what the Lord has said. Hananiah didn't leave it there. Oh, I wish he had done. But he goes on himself. He reacts to the message of Jeremiah there in verses 10 and 11. Let me just read it for you. Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah and broke it. And he said, before all the people, this is what the Lord says. In the same way I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, off the neck of the nations within 2 years. At this, the prophet Jeremiah went on his way. I wonder what he went on his way to do. As Hananiah, in front of all the people there, with such confidence and such proud heart, contradicted all that God had previously said. He broke the yoke. And in breaking the yoke that was around Jeremiah's neck, he said that God would break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. To be so dogmatic about something that God has not said is a very, very dangerous thing. Dr. Harry Ironside, he made this interesting observation. He said this, that error is generally insistent and dogmatic, the more so often the further it is removed from the truth. People become more insistent and more dogmatic the more it is away from the truth. And actually, ironically as well, so often they gather around followers who can be as equally as dogmatic against false truth than the truth. That's why many churches, many Bible-believing churches are often empty. But many unbelieving churches are often full of people who like to have a message that says, everything's okay. Hananiah, in front of everyone, takes this dogmatic action. Thus says the Lord. But the truth is, God was with Jeremiah and not with Hananiah. So in the end, verse 11, Jeremiah quietly went away. I wonder what he went away to do. I wonder whether he went away broken, crying, or wonder whether he went, Lord, maybe I have discerned and misunderstood what you've said to me. Because that's what us preachers do, don't we? Let's be honest sometimes. We doubt whether we've discerned the mind of God, whether we've really, really spent enough time in his presence saying, Lord, is this so? When somebody comes and contradicts that which you feel strongly about. I wonder whether he went away broken, but what we do know is he went away and God spoke directly to him. After Hananiah had broken off the yoke from his neck, Jeremiah left and God came to Jeremiah. And I'd love to say that he restored him. What he did is reaffirm the word to him with this divine message that he was to take back. Scripture doesn't say how long, it just says shortly after. It could have been weeks, it could have been a month or two. We indicate later on of how short it is before this man Hananiah dies, but we're not sure exactly how long it was. But what we do know is that God spoke. But during that time, Hananiah probably was esteemed and viewed himself as a hero amongst the people. Everybody probably thought he was wonderful. Wouldn't you imagine? Oh, Hananiah, we're so pleased that you came to us. You know, we were feeling so down and so despondent by Jeremiah's word, but you've came and you've just lifted us up, and we're just so grateful that you're now our prophet, you're our pastor, and everything's going to be okay. After a short time, however, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. You know, it's interesting that it never ever says anywhere in Scripture that the word of the Lord came to Hananiah. It just says Hananiah said. The word came, tell Hananiah that he has broken a wooden yoke, so I will place upon him an iron yoke. Verse 13. A yoke made of iron was impossible to break. Your situation is going to be far worse because of your actions, Hananiah. That's what God is saying. You tell Hananiah that God has put yokes on all the nations in order that they would submit to Nebuchadnezzar. Do you know, there is a time to resist and there is a time to submit. And the mandate from God was to submit. There is a time appointed for everything underneath the sun. You remember what Ecclesiastes 3 says? Turn with me very quickly to it, if you can find it. There is a time for everything and a season for everything actively under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear down and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. That's actually not true. The word hate is not found in Hebrew at all. What it should say actually in the text is a time to love and a time to love less. A time to a war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on man, but he has made everything beautiful in his time. To understand and to discern the days in which we're living in, to understand and discern what God would have us do is as important as discerning the time. A time to love. A time to love less. A time to heal. A time not to be healed. In Jeremiah's day, it was a time to submit and not resist. Folks, we've been reminded time and time again, not only in our series in Jeremiah, but even this morning in our series in Hebrews, that God is sovereignly in control. He knows everything. And we need to rest knowing that he is working his purposes out as year succeeds to year. And so after receiving this truth, finally as we close this evening, Jeremiah takes God's word to Hananiah, verses 15 through to 18. Jeremiah, who had been publicly ridiculed by Hananiah, went to him with three messages, not his own, but direct revelation from the Lord God himself. Verse 15, the Lord did not send you with a message to give to the people. Jeremiah says, you were not sent to the people from God. God did not lead you this way. God did not speak to you in this way. And you were not sent. You have stood before the people and you have lied to the people. And you know what? You've deceived them and they've believed the lies that you've given them. Do you know, as I've already alluded to tonight, there are ministers telling lies to their congregations. And God has not sent them. God has not gifted them, and yet the congregations believe and follow them. They stand in pulpits and they promote same-sex relationships. They say things and turn their eyes against things that are totally contrary to the Word of God. And they excuse sin and even justify sin. This is not of God. There are ministers who stand before congregations week after week after week and lie to them. They tell them that their works can save them. They tell them that their sin is okay. And they tell them that they can keep the law and the rules that they want to do, and don't worry about it, they will end up in heaven. Because you were christened as a little baby, so everything will be okay, and it is a lie. And I know it breaks the heart of God. Hananiah, you are not from God, and your message is not from God. And God is going to remove you from this earth, and he will kill you. Look what it says there in verse 16. Verse 15, then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah, the prophet, listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, yet you are persuaded the nations to trust in lies. Therefore, this is what the Lord says, I am about to remove you from the face of this earth. This very year, you are going to die because you have preached rebellion against the Lord. According to verse 17, as it goes on, the Lord had or killed Hananiah in the seventh month, just 2 months after Jeremiah had received, or he'd given this prophecy, this false prophecy. The Lord removed him. God will not be mocked. And people cannot stand and speak words that are blatantly contradict God's word and think they can get away with it. And so as we close this evening, there's some critical points that we really need to hear, some lessons from this particular text. Simply this, firstly, that you do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. Hananiah became so proud in all that he'd said and done, as if he was the paraclete, as if he was the very mouthpiece of God, and the people responded to his lies. Be careful, preachers. I've never, ever, 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 ever heard any new thought. I've only ever heard old thought put in a different way. Why? Because God's word is unchanging. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. We are saved by grace and by grace alone. We must always obey the word of God and not the word of some man or even woman. Because no matter how sincere one may be, we must stick to the word of God. You know, when I was in the last pastorate in New Brighton, pray for me because I'm going back there next Sunday. I'm going to be preaching there. First time I've actually been back to New Brighton Baptist Church since I actually came to Homegate. I was due to be there before COVID hit, but then they cancelled the meeting, but I'm going back there. And when I was there some years ago in New Brighton, a dear lady had a word from the Lord, and it was a prophecy, direct revelation, and she wrote to all the ministers across Wallasey and the wider area in the world that we were there. And she came to me because I knew her quite well-ish. And she said to me, so what, Phil? What do you think of the prophecy? Good, yeah? She's very sincere. But you can be sincere and sincerely wrong. No matter how sincere one may be, we must stick to the word of God. I said to that dear lady, I said, it's interesting what you feel have said. She said, it is. It's going to come true. Do you know? I said, do you feel? She said, yeah, it is. Do you realize, I said to her, that what you've written there or what you feel the Lord has said to you there is contrary to the word of God? Is it? Yeah. You've actually misquoted scripture and you've spoken words contrary to what God has said in his word. This dear lady didn't know God properly, and she certainly did not know his word, and the prophecy was not from him. Oh, she was sincere, but she was sincerely wrong. Do not ever confuse your feelings or will as being the word of God. It's a real danger. Do you know the heart can deceive? And it does. And that's why we need to stick to his unchanging word and nothing else. And finally, obeying God's always leads to blessing. Hallelujah. Always leads to blessings. Disobeying God always leads to disaster. Look what happened to Hananiah. If you want to walk in the days of blessing, if you want to walk in the ways of blessing, walk in obedience to what God has said in his word and stick to it, no matter how circumstances may change. Do not dictate the word of God and interpret the word of God according to your circumstances or according to what happens in the world. Continue to stand on the word of God, just like Jeremiah did. And let me assure you, God will bless you. To him be the praise. To him be the glory. Amen.